Thanks, Michael.
Hey, listen, mate, you wear many hats. You're Northwest Powerboat Club Commodore. You're Australian Powerboat Association State President, promoter of bad boats. Tell us what you're up to at the moment, because you've got a pretty busy lifestyle.
Yeah, no, that was Tasmanian Powerboat Association President, not the Australian Powerboat, but I actually I am the national, one of the national promoters for the bad boats. The bad boats are blown alcohol displacements. Yeah, I promote the biggest race meetings in the world for our boats. But that all started with back in the club racing years ago. The only way that I got into the blown boats, because the only way I could beat the outboards, the Formula One outboards, was with a blown alcohol displacement. I wanted to race a 6-litre displacement because I liked them, but I knew I'd never beat them. So then we stepped straight through and flipped into a blown boat, and eventually after a few years of tough competition, I end up rolling them.
Your dad was a fanatical boat man, and I guess you were being part of the family, and I know your brother Nigel's part of it too. And what created that that real love and interest of boats for you?
Well, I think because of dad, like in New Zealand, all our family in New Zealand, my grandfather, you know, he did 200 kilometres an hour at 69 years old. You know, so yeah. He built his own hydros, and my uncle and my grandfather in New Zealand put the motors together. You know, so we used to go over there as we were kids and we'd go to the racing, and then back over here, Dad moved in to build a couple of boats himself and raced, and we were out hanging around the boats all the time. So it was, you know, it was like a thing that as we progressed through, then Nigel, of course, raced. I think he started probably, we both got our licences at the same time, but he probably started about a year before, I did. And because I was doing my judo, and then of course his son raced, and all my daughters, my three daughters, they all raced in little boats and juniors all the way through up to now. George's in a 6-litre, which she's still like the youngest woman in Australia to get a 100-mile-an-hour badge, and the fastest woman in Tasmania.
It's a great story, really, because as you mentioned, just briefly there, judo as well, and we'll come to that just a little later. But what's on the calendar at the moment for C. Palmer? I know you've got many things that you've got your toe into, but what's the immediate thing that you're working on at the moment?
Oh, just at the moment, we've got our first round of the Tasmanian Championships next weekend. So our club, Norwest Powerboat Club, hosted at Horsehead Creek at 10 o'clock start. So that's the opening round to the state series, and we're hoping to get a couple up from Hobart, but it'll be a nice little gathering, and we'll be that's at Horsehead Creek on the Saturday the 6th of November. That's our first one, and then we venture down to Hobart for the Wayne Cross Memorial on the 4th of December. We've changed it this year to the Saturday because of they've changed Bathurst.
Oh yeah,
We're doing that, and then we'll have a look and see what, because COVID's hit, we haven't been able to go to the mainland racing in the championships, so they've all been postponed.
Mm. And you've, I guess, having round one, how many rounds do you have, and how long does the season go for? Just for me, because I'm not really totally across it. You're the man.
Yeah, well, we have 6 rounds, and it goes through to April next year.
Yep.
And in between that, we built it around the events that we usually go into on the mainland, because any major events we try, a lot of the Tasmanian boaters want to go over there, whether they race or whether they come to support some of the others. Goes over 6 rounds, which doesn't seem much, but it is a bit when you space it out with mainland events as well. So we race around here to start with, then we go to Hobart, then we come back, then we go back down to Hobart in the beginning of July, then we go to the Apex Regatta, and then Port Regatta, which is in the first week of March, and we shoot down to Hobart again, and we also combine that with a round of the Australian titles, which we apply for, and we've got the unlimited displacement, one of the titles again. And then we have to finish off, we go to Roseviers up there in the Tamar River.
Yeah, beautiful spot. That'd be fantastic to race there, wouldn't it?
It's very nice, and it's one of my favourite tracks. It's a triangle track as well, and it's sometimes the weather gets a bit up, and we we struggle a bit with the weather, but sometimes it rises.
March has been a pretty successful time for you. Seven-time winner of the John Palmer Memorial Cock of the Mersey, and that race must be really special to you, Chris.
Yeah, well, that race there is actually a tough race to win, and it's, you know, like I consider that to be one of the toughest I've ever won. I've won a few Marge Watsons, which are Australasian championships. I won a few Australian titles. But the regatta is such unpredictable water, and it's cause I'm sort of like the favourite every time. You know, the mainlanders that come over, like, and especially like Darren Robinson, he's a sniff, he goes past me if I back off anywhere. Like, he went past me last year, like, I was standing still down the back straight because I thought it was a bit rough. He came into the corner and he nearly ended up in Melbourne. You know? So that, you know, I'm thinking to myself as he goes past, I'm going, I wonder how this is going to end.
Yeah.
And did on the first corner, you know.
Yeah, home experience, which is pretty important.
Yes, we the boat racing sort of goes ups and downs, and of course the COVID Tassie, we could sort of sneak through a bit, you know. We could just make each sort of race meeting. We comply with all the regulations and all that sort of caper, and we've been quite lucky, really.
And let's talk about your other love, which is judo. You're the head coach of Ulverston Judo Club, and you've had a long association with John Deacon over there. That is something, Chris, that has been really at the forefront for you. You've been at it a long time.
Yeah, I've been at it since I was 10, and it's a very good base for anything in life. You know, whether it be boat racing, whether it be work, whether it be looking after things, you know, like it's a very, very, because I was representing the country for 15 years. I won a fair few Australian titles, Australasian championships, and you know, you build a lot of good mates around the world, like a lot of good mates, and mateship is very, very strong when you're a judo player, you know, like it's I've got mates in the UK, New Zealand, over in the mainland, big time, you know, and you can actually go anywhere in the world, you know, like, and you know people, you know. I've been in Japan, I've been to Korea, I've been to Norway, Denmark, Sweden, Germany, France, you know, Holland, America, and all those places, and it's just been, it was great experience, and I'm still coaching, and I'm still helping out with the state team a little bit, you know. I was a bit of an assistant coach.
And it's a very respectful sport too, isn't it? Like, I mean, I think that you said mateship and all that sort of thing, but there's a lot of respect in that world, isn't there?
A lot of respect, and when this COVID hit, the cleanliness, well, we've been doing that since day dot, you know what I mean? You wash your food, cut your toenails, clean your fingers, you don't leave the mat, let's put your shoes on. We've been taught that for years, you know, so it was one of those things. It wasn't hard for us to, you know, instead of cleaning the mat once a fortnight, every 3 weeks, we're cleaning it every night now, you know, and that's a couple of little extra things we had to do. But, so it wasn't a big thing for us to pick up our game with cleanliness.
Yeah. So what's happening in judo at the moment?
We've got our club end-of-year tournament at which all the state come to on the 14th, Sunday the 14th of November. So we'll be running that. Our juniors are going quite well. Our seniors are hit and miss. A lot of people have got a lot of things to do these days, and once you get to a certain thing, there's so many choices, and judo is a little bit tougher than normal sports, so we lack a few, you know, so... We're just in the process now of restructuring a little bit so that we can try and build our numbers back up again.
Yeah. And so what was a 10-year-old doing, just hanging around, doing nothing when you got involved in judo? Someone pick you up and slammed you or something and said, well, all right, Chris, you need to probably have a crack at this? How'd you get started?
It sort of happened like one of Mum's friends, good family friends, and their kids are the same age as me, and they started doing judo, and I thought, well, if I can do it, I'll have a crack, because I always love wrestling and stuff like that, so mucking around. So I went over and joined up, and I stuck with it, and all the rest of them quit, you know.
Yeah, it's an amazing sport. I spoke to Len Boltby going back a little while ago, and then he's been involved, as you would know,
he's got a good club going there in Devonport, so that's sort of like a very good club, because anyone that Leonard gets there that he thinks needs to step up to the next level, he'll send them to our club, you know. So
yeah,
for the competition style of it. So Leonard over the years has been, we're working very well with Leonard.
Yeah. And that's just brilliant, because it's not about just it's about the individual and what's best for them, or, you know, they still work within a team, but if you see someone who's got some star rating about them, you get them to where they need to be.
That's correct. And judo's one of these sports too, because I played state soccer when I was younger. I played state squash, and I figured it out in soccer, and I played a little bit of footy, but that was only a bit of fun when you were up there mucking around as well. You know, that was just for a bit of fitness. But with those sports, right, and I watch my daughters with basketball, a lot of that is personality as well. Whereas judo, you go out there and you face the other person and you beat them, you don't get dropped from the team. You're in the team. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's none of this, oh, no, I like Freddie better because, I think, I think they're a bit even, but, yeah, no, I'm mates with his old man, he's in the team, you know? So
yeah.
With judo, doesn't matter with your mates or what, if you get beat out in the mat out there, you're in the team.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's and look, I mean, Chris, you've been at it for such a long time, sort of multiple sports, and you've done so many things. I think you and I could sit here and talk about a lot of the things. We were chatting on the phone earlier today, chatting about all the things that you do overseas, and I think that's a story for another day, and I'd really like to sit down and sort of sift through a lot of that as we move along on the Sideline View. But thanks very much for picking up the phone and having a chat.
Yeah, now the biggest thing is in life, like, fear get in their way. So in our sport, we teach never give up and never let fear get in your way.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, mate, you are not one of those people that have let fear get in your way. Well done, and thanks for coming on.